Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Hey, how's it going, church? Good? Really good? Really, really good? Hey, I get to talk to you. We get to be together in a conversation around peace. I feel like we're supposed to inhale and exhale. I want to talk about three things around it, three angles. What is it, truly? How do we get it? And what do we do with it? Okay. And full disclosure, if peace were anchored to circumstance, I should have gotten a get-out-of-jail-free card from this sermon. So some of you, I think that means some of you know, and I'll explain more, but so many of you have been praying for my family. But if peace is something anchored outside of circumstance into something bigger, stronger, someone more able to help us in time of trouble, then maybe I can stand here and declare to you, to me, to us, the good news that Jesus is our peace. Can we pray? And then we're going to turn to the Gospel of John. God, you are truly stunning in the way that you came to us. You did not leave us far off. You love us. And on the night of your betrayal, you promised us something truly phenomenal, that you would give us your peace and it would blow our minds, and it does. And so I ask that you would help us to internalize your message, that you do come to us with your peace. Please guide and guard this time. In Christ's name, amen. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Start reading in verse 23. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Peace, three angles. What is it exactly? How do I get it? What do I do with it? Can we do that? We can do that. What is it? Some say that peace is circumstantially rooted, and that's why there's endless opportunities to do something, to pay a good or receive a service, an experience, and be more at peace. And there's a world to get into there. Some people rightly acknowledge, like, yes, that's lowercase p, that's helpful, good, put it in its right place. Other people would say that's as good as it can get. Some people have said it's even instant. Well, okay, insta peace, right? We've been jesting. We've been in this sermon series, Insta. Today is the last Sunday. We've been talking about words like love, joy. Today we're talking about peace. Is it instant? Did anybody, this is no shame. It's the house of the Lord, no shame. Black Friday? Did anybody do anything? Get something good? Who got something good? Something good was got right there. They know it. Talk to them. Thank you, Cherry family. You are forgiven. Did you see though, on the homepage of Amazon, the best Black Friday deal, eternal perfect peace that surpasses all understanding, 75% off. Get it while it's hot, insta peace. No, we know that that's not something to go shopping for because we know at a heart level that peace, it's not like that. It's not something that you could just purchase on your own. It's something that is a gift. It's something that needs to be given to you. So first, I'm just taking some time to process peace is beyond circumstance. Jesus was in his own circumstance when he wrote these words. I'll get into his circumstance in just a minute. My circumstance when I started writing out notes for this sermon, I was sitting in my daughter's hospital room on the 40th night of her hospital stay for 40 days and 40 nights, which then I thought, now this is biblical. 40 days and 40 nights. Sorry, you try to bring humor into difficult situations. I do to get through. And the environment in that room was difficult for me. I'm sure you'd be fine. It's the hundreds of medical team members in and out the door. It's the fluorescent lights on and off and on and off, even through the night, on and off, on and off. It's the tubes in and out of my daughter's chest. It's the sound. I have a term. I call it the unholy choir of modern medicine monitoring alarms. Everything's fine. Yes. Yes. See, that doesn't mess with you. I'm fine. Yeah. MMMA. Yeah. So Eden has a serious heart condition and she's being cared for. Intervention medicine is being given to her, and it's amazing. And when I say that, I keep splashing cold water on my face, thinking this isn't really this bad, this isn't true. But it is happening. But let me tell you though, there are beautiful things happening too. Can I show you a picture of her? Can I do that? Here she is. You can look at it, I can't look at it. There she is. She's now more than 40 days old. 40, I should know this, that's embarrassing. I love you, sweetheart. Hang in there. She's very stable. This weekend, this is a good weekend. So I also need to say thank you to you guys. I'm on a team of pastors in our denomination connect with one another across the nation. I was connecting with one of them, telling them what's going on in my family's life. And he said, I hope you are at a biblical church. And I smiled, I was like, like, dude, it's First Pres Colorado Springs. Like, what are you talking about? Biblical church. He said, I hope you're at a church where you bear one another's burdens. It's like, wow, that really hit me. You know, I it's so easy to teach things. Like we, in our discipleship training, you've probably heard me say like, oh, there's 59 one another's in the New Testament. Like a part of small groups is to walk that out, to do the one another's. One of the one another's that I say is to bear one another's burdens. But I have never, my wife and I, Cassie and I, have never experienced being on the receiving end of our burdens being borne in such a way. It's amazing. And so I want to say thank you because you guys are beautiful in the way that you're praying for us and caring for us. So is peace attached to circumstance? That's mine. I'm going to talk about Jesus's and then I'm going to ask you what's yours currently. Jesus wrote these words, John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. This is all Jesus's final sermons to his disciples on the night that he's betrayed. This is his last shot. This is his last hours together, breaking bread together, giving his final words of instruction. Jesus was not at peace because he didn't know what was coming. You know, I could see myself, you know, I could see, you know, maybe John having a great night, not realizing like what Jesus is like, this is about to get bad. But Jesus knew what was coming. We know that because he was prophesying. He said, my hour has now come. Like I've been saying now for 14 chapters, now it's my hour. It's time. It's time to do this. You know, this is Jesus's like, let's roll moment of his life. He knows exactly what's about to happen. And he's not so concerned. I'm convinced. He's not so concerned of the pain, the immense pain, the crucifixion pain. The reason he bleeds sweat in the garden, I don't think has anything to do with the physical pain. I think it has everything to do with the Father turning himself away from Christ. The whole message today centers on this. Jesus gave up his peace so that you and I could be at peace with God, with one another, in any circumstance. That is the gospel message. Jesus went to the cross and then he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that moment, he loses relationship with God, with the Father. And because of that, our sins are atoned for and we can be in right relationship. And because we can be in right relationship, we can have peace, peace with God. So Jesus's circumstance, my own circumstance, if those could just be primers though, because I think the real work is to look into your own heart and say, what is my actual circumstance? Christian peace, unlike a lot of kinds of peace that you'll find in the world, does not say, ignore reality, come into this new mindset space, and you will feel better. Christian peace truly, truly says, look at your life. Look at your life truly. Look at the beautiful moments. Look at the terrible moments. Look at your life and see God with you. God is with you. It's ultimate realism in my mind because it's saying, take your whole life for what it is and know that God promises you his peace. So what is peace? Peace is relationship with God. Peace is God giving you himself. I don't know how normal it is to just stop and give thanks in a sermon, but I'm gonna do it. God, thank you that you are our peace. God, thank you that you are our inheritance, that we belong to you. Thank you for what you did on the cross so that no matter what comes our way, or the way of those we love, you give us yourself. And so we bless your name and we say thank you for giving us yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what it is. That's what peace is. How do you get it? How do you get it? That could sound like a funny question. It is definitely a sticky question. Because we have to be careful. On one hand, we can't preach any kind of works-based righteousness, okay? We can't do that. We can't say you have to do something. But we also need to understand that there's matters of salvation and then there's matters of, what I'll say, relationship. And I think to say what I'm saying, I'm just gonna read the words of Jesus back in verse 23. This was the very first verse of our passage. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will, do you remember the word? Obey my teaching. Yeah. Obey my teaching. So he goes, so there's da-da, and then I give you my peace. I don't give as the world gives. I give you my peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. That was all predicated by, if you love me, you will obey me. So my response to how do you get peace? If you could use an extra dose of peace in your life, I would say, get close to Jesus in a obedience kind of way. And I tremble when I think about how many times I have not received the blessing of experiential peace of God that surpasses all understanding because I have deviated from the footsteps of Jesus. And so I'm preaching this to myself and I'm encouraging and admonishing you. Obey Jesus. If you love me, you will obey me. There's an amazing promise that comes to this. Verse 23, my Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. That's verse 23. That's in alignment with obedience. And he says, as we love Jesus, the Father loves us more. That's awesome. That's like really awesome news. And then it says, we'll come to them, to us, the people, and make our home, Father and Son, will make their home. They will tabernacle with us. This is Emmanuel, God with us. As we turn our affections to Jesus, Father, Son, Spirit turns their affections to us. Relationship. And then verse 26, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is a pretty sweet Trinitarian passage, Father, Son, Spirit. Pretty clear. And it says the Holy Spirit, though, will teach you. Teach you what? What the Father said, what the Son is now saying. They never disagree with each other. The Godhead, three in one. One in essence, three persons, will teach us. I would say that teaching leads to transformation. That's the goal. So my son is learning to read. It would be an unsuccessful teaching if in 5 years, I was gonna say 5 weeks, so, you know, he's not reading, you know? Like, teaching is for a purpose. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit is coming with a purpose to teach you. Teach you what? What the Son has been saying. Jesus sums up the whole law in this way. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's Mark 12. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what does it mean to obey Jesus? I think it means to work toward, to join the Holy Spirit in increasing your affections for God. Day after day after day after day. As that's happening, the Father is shining the light of his countenance upon you. And you find yourself in relationship. So through this Insta series, we've been looking at John 15, where Jesus says, abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. All of this language is relationship language. Relationship of a specific kind, with specific texture to it, that's all around the nature and the character of God. Okay, so that's what it is. That's how to get it. I'm gonna move to what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Okay. So it would be tempting to internalize what real peace is, relationship with God, nearness of God, God himself coming to us, giving himself as the gift, and then saying, I'm good. That would be really, I think I'm tempted with that every day. You know, I have the peace of God. Let me build a castle then around myself and hang out in the peace of God. That's a really nice idea in my head. And then I start reading the gospel and I start seeing that the peace of God is always meant to what? To be extended, to be shared. The mission of God is carried out by the peace of God. I wanna read two verses that immediately precede our passage. So earlier I started reading in verse 23. Real quick, I wanna start reading in verse 21. 21 is a little bit of repeat. You've heard this language. 22 though is quite interesting. Listen to both though. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, I love this, not Judas Iscariot. Why would I write about him? You know, says, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? What a question, right? And maybe we've asked that question too. Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? How many of us are in active relationships with someone that we care deeply about and we want them to not only know about Jesus, but love him, to run after him, to follow him, to fall down on their knees before him, to worship him. And it just doesn't seem to get there. And we might ask this question too, Lord, why do you intend to, why are you showing me so much of your love and your goodness and not to the whole world? And I think what we can do with that question is know that in a few verses, Jesus says, I give you my peace. And then we can start thinking about, well, what else does Jesus say throughout the Gospel of John or throughout all the Gospels? We know that he begins to commission us. He says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He says elsewhere that there are sheep not of my fold, and I must bring them in. We know that God's heart is mission. And we know that if God wills to do something, it will come to pass. He's all powerful. So we know that mission is happening. And I think inside of this question, inside of this passage, is the key to how God uses his peace to carry out his mission. In this way, I believe that the mission of God is carried out by the peace of God given. The mission of God is carried out by the peace of God given. Let me illustrate that by taking us to the 9th floor of Children's Hospital Anschutz, which is a hard place to take you all, but here we go. We're gonna go to the east side. Every Thursday at 10 a.m. on the east side of the 9th floor of Children's Anschutz, there are coffee and bagels available to parents of patients. Cassie and I went. It took about 30 seconds to realize that coffee and bagels is code for therapy. Okay, which is great because we all need it. And so we're meeting other parents, we're sharing stories. There's a woman who I think, oh, she's on staff. She seems very calm. She also seems just very aware of everything that's going on, like she's very familiar with the setting. And later, though, she started sharing, and I quickly realized, oh, no. She's not on staff. She's a mom. She's a parent, like I am. Well, she's been there for over 6 months. Her son is waiting for a transplant, full heart transplant. She lives in her RV in the parking lot of the hospital. And Eden's four neighbors are all waiting for transplants at this time. And what I'm struck by is her posture, her demeanor, her countenance, okay? And at one point, she grabs the cross on her neck, her necklace, which is a cross. And she just looks at everybody in the room, and she says, I want you all to know that Jesus is holding me, and Jesus is carrying me through this. And without him, I have nothing, and it would be my joy to pray for you, to pray for your child, to sit with you, okay? The mission of God is carried out by the peace of God given. That woman has a gift called the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And she is using that gift not to build a castle around herself, but to share the peace of God with those around her. She wasn't offering anything extraordinary, except that what she did was extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. I believe that every one of us can do those little acts of love, those little acts of kindness, and that it will change the city even more. Because when people experience the peace of God from someone else, they're receiving the gospel. They're receiving a part of the gospel. And then a relationship can start. So peace. We've talked about what it is, how to get it, and what it's for. In just a minute after I pray, we're going to sing a song together that has these lines that you may know quite well. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. For all things are mine since I am his. Does anybody know it? How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that refuge clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? Let's pray. God, you are yourself our peace. You come to us and you give us yourself. You are Emmanuel. You are our rock, our redeemer, our refuge. Because you are Lord of heaven and earth, we can weather whatever circumstance we face. Because we know that no matter the temporal outcome, we belong to you. We are your inheritance. Your peace is truly extraordinary. And I ask that you would raise up in this room brothers and sisters who would be supernaturally equipped to carry your peace to this beautiful city in which you have placed us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.